It's just like any other relationship that you cultivate, a friendship. If you just talk about your friend's life, they won't know anything about you. And so how are they supposed to build a relationship with you, but you're building a relationship with them?
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. I'm your host, Adam Adams. Yes, that's my real name. And Helen Garcia, is that your real name?
It's my real name. Yep.
Boom. We're both authentic today. And that's what you're going to be learning from this episode is how do you get your unique identity out into your podcast? Helen was discussing with me in the pre-interview that there's all of these different courses and classes that you can take to kind of learn some of the basics of podcasting, what mics to use, how to sound good, all of that kind of stuff. Some of the logistics on like where you're supposed to publish it and how you publish it. But there's something that kind of gets missing, and that is who you are. And a lot of people are trying to be, as she stated before we started recording, a lot of people are trying to be the next Joe Rogan or JLD. JD again. That's the dyslexia. He came, Helen, and I think we're co-modding a room, and I believe you were on there. And JLD, John Lee Dumas, came in, and I called him JDL, and he didn't stay very long after that. So here we are, Helen. I want you to kind of describe which way to go here. There's a lot of famous people in podcasting.
Yeah.
There's people that are doing really, really well. JLD, for example, he's coming on the podcast. He wasn't that mad at me. So JLD, for example, he's doing things right. He seems like he comes from such a great place, a place of integrity, and he adds a lot of value on his podcast. Like, here's Joe Rogan, and he's famous and he's divisive, or like basically he's drawing his line in the sand. He's on his side, and he's willing to kind of draw that line in the sand and not need to appeal to every single person. There's so many examples that we can have, and it works for them. And so isn't it obvious that we would say, well, if JLD is asking these questions, if JLD is doing it this way, if Joe Rogan is doing it this way, etc., shouldn't we do it a similar way? And I feel like you have really good insight on that. And I'd love to just turn it over to Miss Helen Garcia, the 24-year-old podcaster who graduated from college in 2018, a grad student now. But interestingly enough, she holds 3 jobs and as a podcaster and as a grad student.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure how you do it all. So 2 things that I want the listener to get. First, I really want him to understand what we're already discussing, but also if we are doing as much as you, like how can we still become a podcaster? I think you can really inspire us there as well. So I'm turning it over to you.
That's a good point. How do you manage so many different things? I think it's the age-old story of a student nowadays. I think that the biggest fear that I'm hearing from so many of my colleagues is the fear of getting in debt. I have that fear of working as many jobs as you can to pay off tuition. There are grants that I apply for. There are scholarships that I apply for. And I think that one of the things I'm learning is you have to be very adamant about saying no to things that don't matter and filtering things out. And the truth is that there is a lot of time in a day. It's just whether or not you're willing to wake up early enough to go and work on the things that matter. And I wake up at 4 in the morning every single day just so I can write content and like get all the things done. I don't know. I love podcasting because it gives me a chance to talk to people that are actually doing things in their life. And I think the pandemic for me is a blessing in disguise, because some of the things that I do is I work remotely and I also work in retail and I work in mental health. And so there are all these jobs that I'm juggling. And so I always have to keep like a gig bag, and I live with my family. There's like six of us living in a home. So I have to keep a bag of my Zoom H6 recorder, my Shure microphone, my headphones, an extra pair of headphones, a pair of Bluetooth headphones if I don't have access to plug everything in. And it's been a great adventure. I think that having limits in my life, this is the time I'm going to go to school. This is the time I'm going to be working. This is the time I'm going to be creating. It almost like segments my brain because I can't concentrate on one thing at once. And so having like blocks of time where I can just be in school has been fun. But I think quarantine has helped with that also, like just being at home most of the time. So I don't have to worry about it, like driving.
So, okay. So you're doing school from home. You're doing some of your job, one of your jobs or two of your jobs are from home. And then one of them's in retail.
Yeah. One of them is in retail. So I sell clothes. It's minimum wage. So it's fun because you learn the ins and outs of sales and how to make a sale. And you probably know this because you're in investing and you're in real estate. But I think that one of the things that I've learned in that job is you have to really believe in what you're selling. If you don't believe in it, people just get it. I think that people have a filter of when someone isn't being authentic and when someone isn't. I've also realized that when you love talking about something, people hook on that. Like people just want to listen in more. Because it's very rare to find someone who genuinely loves their job. There are people that complain about their job. There are people who refine the toxic work environment that they're a part of. But there are people who rarely enjoy every aspect of a job.
Okay. One of your jobs is in retail. Mm-hmm. You said it's minimum wage. You like it. You're learning a lot. Mm-hmm. What are the other two?
It's mental health. So the other one is I do therapy. And then the other one is I do a lot of editing for different graduate papers. So I help edit.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the mental health, you are a therapist?
I'm a specialist. So it's not necessarily that I'm diagnosing anybody because I don't have the credentials for that yet. I'm just finding out like what your behaviors and how are they manifesting from how you think and how you function with different family members. And so it's really understanding their behavior. So I'm a behavioral specialist in my other job. And it's helping me a lot with wanting to be a therapist.
Cool. Love it. So number one, I learned from you saying no. I've heard others say that you got to be really good at saying no. Adam Adams has always been really good at saying yes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, take on that next thing. I want more. I could probably do that. I could figure out a way. I don't want to offend you. So, okay, I'll do it. Can we just learn from you, since even I need to learn this a little bit better? Teach me how to say no. How are you saying no? And is it difficult? Is it easy? What takeaways can we take away? I'm making fun of myself for how I said that.
No, you shouldn't. I think it made exact sense what you meant to say. I read a lot of books about peak performance and productivity. It's one of the things that I've always been really passionate about ever since high school. The best in the world do what they do. And one of the things that I've learned is you have to make an appointment with yourself. Like I give myself a 4-hour block every morning of like, this is the time that I'm giving myself so that I don't lash out on people that don't need to be lashed out on. Do you ever get in those phases where you didn't give yourself time to really think and to have this quiet, and then you end up getting mad at someone for asking you a question? You're just like, It's not you, it's me. That happens to me all the time. Sometimes I get mad at my grandma for telling me good morning when I didn't have time to myself. And so saying no really means, what is it that I want to say yes to? What's the one thing that I really admire about myself and want to cultivate in myself enough to invest in those things? And am I growing in those avenues? Because I think that no just has a really bad connotation of no means no. And those have obviously become popularized into different aspects of culture. But when you hear the word no, it's almost like a wall. And I'm learning not to see it as that. I'm learning to see it as a garden that I'm cultivating. I'm not willing to plant this weed right now. I want to plant a rose bush. So what am I going to do to plant this rose bush? I have to show up every day. I have to water the plant. I have to not focus my energy on what's going wrong. Those are the things that I've learned in my life. life is like a garden. It's just, what are you planting? What are you growing? And are those things healthy for your garden?
That is so good. That is like so good. I was doing this mastermind last year. It's a mastermind that I pay for, bunch of high level performers, and then there's me as well. And I learned so much from everybody. And there was this day that someone's like, hey, Adam, do you have a budget? And I was like, no, not really. I don't want a budget. I don't want to say no to all of these things if I want them. Mm-hmm. And somebody gave me an idea of how to think of it. And they're like, what are all the things where you want to put your money? And I named a few things. And they're like, can you put your money to all these places? And I'm like, well, not this one yet. And they're like, why not? Well, I mean, I just don't have it yet. I don't have that much to put to it. And they said, how much have you made over the last couple of years? And I was like, a lot. And they go, well, you should be able to do that. And I was like, but I can't. And then they said something to the effect of, having a budget is not so much saying no to some things or limiting yourself. It's more liberating yourself to the things that really matter, like my kids matter, my sweetheart matters, and being able to have the money set aside for those vacations or whatever. Like, everything is a budget. It's a budget of time. Your garden is only so big. Even when you have 60 acres, it's only so big. And I loved how you said, do I want to plant this weed right now? Or should I save my time, my effort, and that space for a beautiful rose or something like sweet peas that would nourish the family or whatever? So that is such an interesting perspective, and I learned a ton. So do you really wake up at 4 a.m. every day? Is that just like something you say?
Monday through Friday, I do.
Okay.
Those are the days that I usually work. And then I also have to take time to write papers. And I need that time to just like be in quiet. I'm an introvert naturally. I'm an extroverted introvert. Have you ever heard of that?
I have, yeah. Give us the definition in case the listener hasn't yet heard that.
So you're almost like a chameleon. You can adapt to social situations. You can pretend like you're interested in everything that people are saying. I can digest information pretty quickly. I'm pretty good on my feet with jokes. But in order to recharge, I need to be by myself. In my family, in psychology, what they teach you is that there's a role that you play in your family of origin. And for me, I was the performer. I was the hero. I was always the one overperforming. And I'm still a self-achiever and an overworker. But I'm also the caretaker. I was doing everything I needed to do to help everybody else. And in order to grow my garden, I need to be by myself and take care of myself. What does Helen need? What does Helen want? Is she like actually helping herself before she helps others? And you can see that in my life. You can see why I want to be a therapist, because I genuinely care about people. I want to unpack people's brains. Yeah, that's what an extroverted introvert means.
Awesome. For me, I need conversations with other people to be healthy, to be happy, to be fulfilled. If I don't have those conversations, I get really antsy. And I'm generally pretty excited to meet somebody new. And I've known a few people that they're like, I'm totally good not to have conversations. I'm totally good on my own. That's not me. But they can do it. They have the ability to do it. And then there's definitely others where it drains them. They're like, oh, I can't have another conversation. I have to have my alone time to recharge. To me, the podcast recharges me. Meeting new people at a conference or speaking at a conference, it recharges me. It makes me feel like I have that energy. So I think I see what you're saying. You're in the middle where you're totally fine on your own, but great in social situations.
Mm-hmm. My buy-in has to be in the conversation. I think if you're talking about designer bags, for example, that's when my brain just doesn't register and I don't want to be a part of that conversation. And so I need my alone time at that moment. But if you're talking about microphones and if you're talking about sound design and the meaning of life, I am invested in that conversation. So I think it depends on what you're talking to me about. I was diagnosed with ADHD. And one of the things that I've realized is my attention can be everywhere if I don't care about what I'm talking about. If I don't care about the conversation, I immediately switch my brain to what's going on the internet, what's going on Instagram, what's going on in Clubhouse. But if I genuinely like the conversation, I'm all in, I'm hyper-focused. And so your ADHD brain can go either two ways, hyper-focused or highly distracted. But in order to get someone with ADHD in the conversation, you actually have to care. That's the goal.
So you mentioned something called a gig bag.
Yes, I did.
You mentioned that it had headphones and maybe Bluetooth headphones and some type of microphone. If the listener has a situation like you and they need a gig bag, share with them what a gig bag is, what it does, and a couple of tips on the equipment that you mentioned. I don't remember if it was this extra one that I bought for no reason, the Zoom P4. And as you are very well aware, you convinced me to get this other one.
Yeah,
that's a little bit bigger. What's a gig bag? And what are some tips for us to be able to make it more compact or easy to use or the right equipment?
Yeah. So I actually found this article on a website called Tropical MBA. And I have a Lower Pro 160. That's the bag that you can use for it. And what it is, it's a bag that has microphones, a headset, and then two dynamic microphones. So you can buy one USB microphone just in case, and you can also buy a Shure SM58 that I have. I like to buy equipment that is durable and won't break easy. I'm also really clumsy, so if I drop it, it won't break. I have the Zoom H6 with me right now. I'm in my grandma's bedroom because my dad is using my office, and the Zoom H6 is on a tripod. And it's mounted into a really small, it's like a cloud lifter, but it's like a Dynamite SE something. And it's really great for amplifying your voice without over volumizing it to get any echo cancellation, if that makes any sense. And I can actually send you a couple of these links in like the picture, but all of it just fits in the size of my foot. I'm a size 7, so it fits in like this big of a bag, but it's the size of someone's extra large foot. That's basically what it is. And you can put in a pair of earbuds. And I like to carry around my AirPods because it's nice and compact to just put it in that bag. And it's really great if you're just in your car and you're recording something. For example, like if I'm in the middle of work and I have a 30-minute break, I can pull out my H6 recorder and my microphone and I can just start talking into it. And when you're in your car, it cancels out so much noise. And because the car is so compact, you won't get a lot of echo and you won't get a lot of like concrete floors because everything is thoroughly padded. And so that's my hack. Like if you're in between meetings and you don't know whether or not you can record something outright, if you already have an idea going on in your head and a script written out on your phone, you can record it just like that.
So the only headphones that you have in your bag are your AirPods? Or do you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What kind of headphones?
I have an AKG K361. It's foldable, so you can just put it straight in your bag, and it's like the size of your hand when you fold it up, and it just comes in the bag, and it's so easy. I like having a setup that is, like I said before, durable, grab and go, and easy to use. So I just like having the ease of use to me is super important. And I'm also 5'1", and so I can't have something that's super big on me that I can just carry and strap on my bag. It'll probably hurt my shoulder. So that's the gig bag.
All right. So it has a Zoom H6, which is an interface that also has noise cancellation.
Right.
It has a Dynamite SE, which is kind of like a cloud lifter that amplifies the sound. It has a couple of Shure SM58s, which are compact, great mics. You have your AirPods, and you have an AKG AK361?
AKG K361.
Okay, 361. And those are headphones. Why do you have AirPods and the other headphones? Is there like a time and a place, or how does that work?
So if I'm recording something and I don't have the equipment or I don't have the time to pull out all of my H6 and my Shure microphones, I'll literally record a voice memo on my phone so that I can record that for later because I don't want to have echo cancellation if I'm having a conversation with somebody, for example. What I mean by that is if I'm talking to a friend and they bring up a really great idea about a podcast episode and this person happens to be a content creator, I can literally just pull up my voice recorder app and just start recording on my AirPods to microphone, and it'll record that as an idea without getting my friend's voice through the echo cancellation, if that makes sense.
So do you use that as a podcast?
No.
Or is it just to give yourself an idea?
It's just to give myself an idea.
Okay, so you'll just listen to it later. Because you're like in a car, you might not have notes. So you take a voice memo as your notes, and then you'll listen to a few of them later, and you're like, oh, I had these great ideas, right? Okay, sure. And you were about to say something? Go ahead.
So the studio headphones, a lot of people don't know this. They think that they can just use earbuds or a pair of earphones. Like, it makes me go mad, actually. The reason why people use CANs, which is the studio headphones, is because it has a flat frequency response. So it means that it can pick up on all of your voice, how it actually sounds. A lot of the times, outside headphones that you buy, like noise canceling headphones, Bluetooth headphones, like Bose, even like Audio Technica headphones, those have emphasized bass or added sound frequency. So it's only when you're listening to that specific headphone that your voice sounds the way that it sounds.
Mm.
The reason why people buy flat frequency response is that's how your voice sounds throughout the duration of every headset that you put on. And that's why people have studio headphones, because of the flat frequency response. And you can pick up on external noise that's going on because it's covering all of your ear.
So the AKG K361s have a flat frequency response?
Yeah.
Which means that it's the normal standard way that your voice sounds, instead of having amplified bass. Which all of my headphones, they have a super amplified bass because I want to think that I sound really good.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm really awesome. All right. I like it. And the bag that you put all this stuff in is called a Lower Pro 160. Mm-hmm. And that's the bag. And it has enough room for the two dynamic Shure SM58s, the Zoom H6, the Dynamite SE, the AirPods, the AKG K361. With flat frequency response. Biggest question, you're on the go. Where do you plug this stuff in?
So the Zoom H6 is battery powered. The battery lasts for about 15 hours. So even if you don't have a computer with you, you can just plug and play and just start recording and press record. It's the easiest thing to do when you're on the go. It's actually what a lot of people use during conferences. If they want to interview, like if you see JLD, for example, in a conference, and you're like, I'll never get this opportunity again to see him in person. I happen to have my dynamic microphone that cancels out external noise. And I have my Zoom H6, which is battery powered. All you need is SD card and two batteries, and you're ready to go for 15, 20 hours.
That's a big, long podcast for sure. I've never listened to that, a long podcast.
Yeah, you can record different segments, especially if you get a big enough SD card, like 128 gigabytes. You won't run out of a lot of memory because you're just picking up on sound and not video. I know video, if you record 128 gigabytes, it's about 2 hours of memory. But because it's only sound, it's a lot more than that. And you can just ask someone a question and they'll be able to answer it, and you'll have that audio with you, and it's great audio quality. So it's the best.
So you don't need to plug it in because it's battery powered, 15 hours. And the next question that I have is, you're on the go, you've got your gig bag. What do you exactly use it for? And all I mean is, for me, half of my podcast episodes, most of them, are me interviewing somebody else through Zoom. And I understand the listener, you've probably heard a lot of people bashing Zoom because it doesn't have the best video quality or the best audio quality. I still use it personally because it makes it a lot easier for me to automate everything. It propagates brand new Zoom link for each and every podcast episode. And I'll do like 8 episodes a week. And I don't want people to have my personal one and just keep going in the middle of one of my interviews, coming and testing it out. So I'm good using Zoom. But the question is, here you are, you're in your car, and you want to record an episode. Is it for A, by yourself, B, because you have two mics, you and a person who's with you in the car or at the conference, or C, actually interviewing somebody over Skype or over Zoom or over Riverside.fm or something, like where they're not even in the car, but they're somewhere else and you're still getting great quality?
I've actually switched to riverside.fm and it's great. It records two local files and then transfers it into one file. And it also has screen sharing. It's a lot like StreamYard, but better because it's local files, but I digress. So the Zoom H6 is really great if you're just recording by yourself or if you're with somebody else in the car with you. It's a great machine because the preamplifiers are really clean. What that means is it won't pick up any white noise like the P4 usually does. Like I've learned to have a little bit of compassion for the P4 because it is for the affordable podcaster, but you do need to buy XLR caps to cancel out on that white noise. But the Zoom H6, you can actually click on which mic you want to turn on and it won't pick up on that white noise at all. I record it personally for solo episodes because I think that if you are recording with another person, you should be in a contained room without highway noise going in and out. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, so it's not for recording on Riverside.
Correct.
When you're either at school or at work or in a hotel or in your grandma's bedroom, mm-hmm. What do you use then? Is it still your gig bag?
Yeah, I still use my gig bag. You can use it for any situation. The Zoom H6, you can actually plug in as an audio interface into your computer. That's what I'm using right now. And it's really great. Like it's my favorite little device. And if you ever think about using it for video, you can buy an extra attachment and you can buy an extra shotgun mic and just clip that on to the Zoom H6 as an external microphone. And it'll be great for video as well if you don't want the mic to be shown in your video. But I like the versatility of the device. And then if you ever want to record something on Zoom without actually using the Zoom platform, you can buy a USB microphone like you're using right now, which is a Shure MV7, plug in the earphone and then the XLR unit, and then just record that through the H6. It's a little more complicated, but I just like it for its versatility and how flexible it is.
All right. I made a promise to the listener. It wasn't about gig bags.
Yeah.
So I want to dive into a little bit of kind of where we started out today's episode, talking about your story, what you bring to the table, that there's so many different podcasts out there. How do you stand apart? How do you feel comfortable standing apart? I'm going to let you go from there.
Yeah, there's a really famous saying that says overthinking is a form of fear, like deep seated fear. And for a really long time when I started my podcast, I overthought so much of my process that I didn't give myself room to grow as a person throughout my podcast. And every single time you press record, you have to realize that people are coming back for you as the podcast host and not for the guest necessarily. You might attract newer listeners for the guest, but oftentimes you have to understand that you bring something new to the table. And so my process, if I'm giving you a tangible example, is I was really ashamed of my immigrant story for a really long time and my mental health diagnosis for a really long time. And it wasn't until I started unpacking my personal story that listeners started writing to me and saying that they really appreciated my story. I have a community of people that continue to contact me, and I've built a relationship with my listener because I've been very vulnerable about where I came from. And my friend Larry, who you know, Larry Roberts, he's told me that when he first started his podcast, he would hide behind the guest, which means that so much of the episode was focused on the guest that listeners couldn't develop a relationship with the host. And to get a substantial audience that keeps coming back regularly, you have to have a relationship with them. It's just like any other relationship that you cultivate, a friendship. If you just talk about your friend's life, they won't know anything about you. And so how are they supposed to build a relationship with you, but you're building a relationship with them?
So much. People are coming to listen to you, not the guest. I thought that was interesting. The next one that you mentioned is you got to understand that you bring something new to the table. And I loved how you mentioned, I was ashamed of. And I want to bring that to light because there's definitely been a couple of times where I was ashamed of certain things. And one of them was just, I lost money in a real estate deal and it was embarrassing. I was supposed to be the influencer in the real estate space and I didn't really want to share that. I wanted to hide that. I wanted to share all the good stuff only. But I was encouraged from a friend who's just as smart as you that I really needed to just bring it out to light and just share it. So I tried a little bit more somber, low-key episode because generally I'm like pretty excitable. And then this one time I was just, this is what happened. And I thought it would be important to bring it out because I don't want you to go through the same thing. And I opened up to that part of the story and must have been in 2017 or 18 and already had like over 100 episodes in my podcast. And we had a fairly decent listenership at the time. But after that one day, I got just dozens, literally dozens of people saying that was the best episode you've ever had. I learned so much. It was crazy. It was weird that the thing that I was the most ashamed of, that I just wanted to hide, ended up connecting me with people. And I remember thinking, okay, I should just be perfect in real estate. Then I share this one thing and everybody's going to know that I'm not perfect. And then they're not going to invest with us because we were raising money from other people and they're not going to invest with us. And after that call, out of the dozens of people that called me after that interview, dozens of people called me, several of them said, besides just I'm connected with you, they go, Adam, now I want to invest with you. I'd like, hey, I've got 100,000, I have 50,000, I have 250,000. And now that I heard that you make mistakes and you own up to it, now is when I want to put my money with you. I was just like, how does this happen? And you mentioned there's a couple things that I think one of them was about mental health and the other one I think was about being an immigrant. And you were like, these two things I want to hide. But when you share it, people kind of come out of the woodwork. And I think that's interesting because all of us have, I was ashamed of, fill in the blank, every single one of us. It's not just Alan and Adam. We all have things that we don't really want to bring to light, but it's interesting. Some of them probably are going to bring you a little bit closer. Now that you've done that, you've built a relationship with your listener. One of the takeaways that I had there, because one of them is pretty obvious, that you're building a relationship with the people listening to your show. But the other one was really something that I want to highlight is that you said your listener. And I think our current listener, who's also a podcaster, should be thinking of it that way too. Many of them are like, I've got all of these listeners. I've got this audience. I've got you guys. And generally, I think it's so much stronger, like with you building a relationship with the person listening. Mm-hmm. Even though there's more than one person listening, they don't listen together. As much as you probably want them to have parties of listening to your show, they're not really having these big giant parties where everybody's listening. He or she is either cooking or cleaning, or he or she is running or exercising or driving, or he or she has a few minutes, or they're going hiking and they've got their earbuds in, they're connected with you. It's your listener. And so I thought that was really interesting that you brought that up as well. The story about Larry hiding behind the guest, I think too many people do that. Would you mind, Helen, spending just a couple of minutes on that topic, showing us the two sides of how we're supposed to connect with our listener a little bit better and using that story with Larry hiding behind his guests to just kind of illustrate that a little bit more for us?
Yeah. I think that as a podcast host, you can go in one of two ways. You can make the podcast all about you and your problems and your understanding of a situation. And then the listener keeps asking, where do I fit into this picture? Where am I in this? How are you serving me? Or you can be so intentional about making it all about the guest that the listener knows nothing about you and they end up becoming a fan of your guest rather than a fan of your podcast. And so there has to be a great balance there of, instead of asking the question of, give me advice about how to navigate this space, for example, when you're asking a guest a question, you should go about it and flip the question of, you've gone through so much in your life. I would love to connect with you in that space because I also went through this experience as well. I was in an interview the other day with an amazing woman who was a part of the Israeli army, and she was telling me about her life and her immigration story. And I stopped and I said, thank you so much for sharing that story because I immigrated here when I was six And I can only imagine how hard it was for you to go from that place in your life to here, because I went through this experience as well, leaving my aunts and uncles and grandparents and only having my mom, my dad, and my sister with me. How was that like for you? And so you don't have to make it all about you, but you can embed the question with your own personal life experience and unpack why you're asking that question. Make your intention clear about why you're asking a question and how that relates to you, but have a heart for service. Does that make sense? It's like a great triage.
Yeah. It sounds like your answer is focused on an interview podcast where almost every episode is an interview with a guest and allowing us as the host to embed our story in there as well to really drive that home for the listener so that they could kind of connect with us as well. And I'll be honest, I thought you would say like, A, it's all about you and your problems. B, it's too much about just the guest. C was some of the episodes would be you solo and other of episodes would be you interviewing. Totally different, right? Like, are you suggesting that we have solo episodes to connect with the guest, or are you really just talking like just having those interviews and allowing ourselves to kind of be a little bit open with our experiences as well?
I do both. So I have solo episodes, but I'm very careful about the solo episodes that I do in that I'm constantly listening to what my avatar, and we've talked about this, my listener wants. And my ideal listener, the people that message me constantly, are very independent people. They're also balancing a few jobs. They've gone through their own mental health journey. They're doing some type of creative practice. And that's who I know is listening. And a lot of the times what they want to know more about is burnout and how to take care of themselves. So a lot of my solo episodes is me sharing these experiences where I have failed and I have been through really hard things and I do struggle with doubt constantly, but it's whether or not I'm willing to get in the car with that thought. And so those are my solo episodes, but my interview episodes are a lot more intimate because I share things about myself that may not come out in solo episodes. And so my approach with every interview and every episode is, am I showing up with this feeling of service and love? And those are my two biggest attributes. But I think in my interviews, you get a lot more of me, like who I am in the context of humanity and my rawness. But my solo episodes is me showing up as the expert in something, with a little bit of authenticity, sprinkles of failure, if that makes sense, of this is what I learned from my failure. Similar to what you said, I hope you don't go through this similar thing down the line.
That is so good. I learned so much so far. I want to share a couple of things that I'm looking at that I might not have brought out with you. One of them, I'm just scrolling through, the overthinking is deep-seated in fear. I think that's extremely interesting. Because I hear a lot of people saying, ready, fire, aim. Like, I personally am not the person to agree with ready, fire, aim when it comes to a podcast. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want you to begin with the end in mind. I want you to understand where you're going. I want you to know your avatar. I want you to know what equipment you're going to use to sound decent. Decent is, you know, the base level. I don't want you to be below decent. You don't have to sound like a radio star, but you got to sound decent. And I feel like it's a lot of ready, aim, fire in order to do that. But most other like coaches and mentors within the podcasting space, a lot of the other podcasters and people, maybe even yourself, totally fine if that's you, Helen. But when we're on Clubhouse, we hear a lot of people that are like ready, fire, aim, just start, don't overthink it. And while it's natural for me to disagree with that, it's like when you say that overthinking is deep-seated in fear, I think it opens my mind to ready, fire, aim in a way that it's like, yeah, if the reason why you haven't done anything for your podcast is because you're just afraid to take the first step or the next step, let's get you to take a step at least, right? So anyway, I thought that was interesting. If you have any additional thoughts on the overthinking, be more than happy to hear your counter thoughts.
Yeah, I think what I meant by that is there are people that plan for years that I'm going to start a podcast one day. And I have all of these ideas. I have a list of things I'm going to buy. They have bought all of their equipment. but they just haven't started. Like, they haven't even published an episode, and they have the domain bought. And I've encountered so many of these people. They've messaged me on Instagram of, how do I combat this? How do I combat this? How do I steer away from this? And they don't even have a repertoire of episodes to show me that they are a podcaster, but they call themselves a podcaster. And that's one of the things that irritates me, because I think that execution is way more important than over planning. Because when you over plan, you almost plan to fail. Because I'm a big fan of the singer Maggie Rogers. She has a quote that says, creativity is crushed when you put too much pressure on it. Like, your ability to create something beautiful is crushed when you give yourself more weight than you can carry. And I think a lot of people see overthinking as being overprepared, but it's actually, it has a foundation of fear. Like, you're so afraid of failing that you haven't started. And there are people out there, I've studied this in graduate school, there are people who gain weight because they don't want to fail in having a relationship where they get fit and the person doesn't want them. You know what I'm saying? Of like, we oversaturate ourselves with all of these things, all of these needs that we can give ourselves. And then because we fear that when we get to this place of health, even though I'm healthy, I'm still not enough for you. And you have to think about that, that sometimes people put these barriers on top of themselves so that they don't get hurt. And I think for the podcaster that's just starting, we see the Joe Rogan, we see the podcast that you're doing on Podcasts for Podcasters, and they're saying, oh, I'm not like Adam. Like, I don't have this fancy setup. I don't have this studio. I don't have sound pads. And so therefore I can't start. And I think that there is a level of planning that's necessary to start a podcast. You need to know who you're serving. You need to know what you're doing. You need to have equipment that you can afford. You need to have a budget. But don't let the other things stop you from actually starting, because it needs to be somewhat imperfect, your first episode. You know what I mean? It's, I think when people listen back to where you first started, for example, and when I first started, I think that people need to see a progression. Like, there needs to be a blind curve rather than here all the way down and to never beginning again. Does that make sense?
I think so. And I want to wrap up today's episode. And you've been so generous with your time. Technically, we're over time. I don't know if you have another schedule after this, but I just have learned a lot with you. And I always enjoy your wise feedback on all accounts. I think it's interesting, personally, that you mention that you're 24 often on Clubhouse and today with us, only because I feel like I never say my age, probably because I'm middle-aged and I don't want anyone to be like, oh my gosh. And so I just don't. But a lot of times, if somebody's extremely old, or they feel like they are, or they feel like they're extremely young, they mention it or they qualify it frequently. I wanted to point that out only in case that's what you do, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm grateful for that, because I realize that I do that a lot. And it's usually because I'm the youngest person in the room. And I think that a part of me is still battling with this imposter syndrome of, do I actually know what I'm talking about? Like, do
yes.
I? Thank you.
Yes.
And why am I here? There are all of these like running thoughts in my head of, wow. And I think when I was younger, because I immigrated here, I grew up with my parents very close to me. They gave me so much wisdom that when I was around people my age, I just didn't feel like I belonged. And then when I was around people that were older, I could actually have talks about death, and I can have talks about moving to different places because they knew what I was talking about. And they would always say to me, Helen, you're so young. How old are you? Like, you know so much. But I think embedded in that compliment is also somewhat of an insult of, just because I'm 24, I can't have these deep thoughts. I can't have this profound wisdom for some reason, because I'm supposed to be learning. But what's ironic about that is I am learning. Like, I'm constantly learning. That's why I feel like I know so much about the world, and I'm constantly taking so much in. So I think that you're right, Adam. This felt like therapy. I'm glad that you called that out, because I feel like some sort of like warm blanket came over me of, okay, it's okay. I don't have to mention it all the time.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you letting me give you that feedback. But man, you've been so wise and so helpful in many, many ways. I just want to mention at the very end of the conversation before I started talking about your age again, is that you mentioned how important it is when we are podcasters and we're wanting to serve people that we spend enough time up front to just identify who that is, the avatar, identify who it is we serve, how we serve them. Because in my experience, working with many different podcasters, both as a coach and just as a friend over the last 4 or 5 years, is that many podcasters miss the mark on that one little piece. And I'm glad and grateful that you brought it out. The feedback with Maggie Rogers talking about creativity gets crushed when you put too much emphasis on being perfect and not making mistakes, that you just like kind of lose out on some of that. And that other piece of feedback that you mentioned where you said, in a way, your first episode needs to be unperfect. And I feel like one of the things that I try to personally do is with my episodes, I don't do a lot of post-production editing. I don't take a lot of ums and uhs and okay so's and you know's and likes out of the post-production personally, because I see my avatar, my listener, as somebody who's new at this. And if I make everything completely perfect on my end, and I don't feel like that gives anybody the power to start their show either. And so I felt intentional to laugh at myself, to make a mistake, to let the mistake be in the podcast, not because I want to be the perfect example of what idealistic you can have a podcast, but more because I know that my listener is a podcaster. They're going through their journey. And if my podcast isn't perfect, I think it gives them permission also to not have to be perfect in what they're doing. So Helen, what last one or two takeaways does the listener need to know? Can you share with them when it's related to having your own voice?
For me, I think it's all about relationship. One of my favorite podcasts is Marc Maron, WTF. And the first episode I started listening to, he made a joke that said, I hope that you're having fun watering your garden. I hope that you're having fun cleaning your room, whatever you're doing. My name's Marc Maron. This is WTF. Today, I ate the weirdest peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I think that you have to be funny about it. Like, your personality should come out the first 45 seconds of an episode, because I think that people ultimately come back for you. People come back for Adam Adams. People come back for Helen Garcia of, what's Helen doing today? How's she doing today? But start off with what you think your audience might be doing when they're listening. So that those are my two key takeaways.
So good. What my team is doing on the back end is looking up each and every item, the two dynamic microphones, Shure SM58, Zoom H6, Dynamite SE, AirPods, AKG K361, flat frequency response, and the gig bag itself, the Lower Pro 160. So the team's already pulling all of that together, and we'll have a PDF ready by the time you're listening to this episode. So if what you want is a gig bag, it's all there. Just go ahead and click, and there's going to be a link at the bottom. So if you want to get a gig bag, it'll be right there. Helen Garcia's show is called Who You Needed. I was recently featured on it. Would love and be honored if you would go and check her podcast out. It's wherever you're listening to this podcast. Just jump over and type in Who You Needed. Helen is one of the most amazing people that I've ever met, even if she's only 24. She adds a ton of value and she really cares. And I want you to just jump over there, listen to an episode or two, and just give her an honest rating. While you're doing that, let her know that you heard of her right here on this show of the podcast. I would be honored. I think she would too. It's called Who You Needed, and it's super easy to find wherever you're listening to this. Helen, thank you so much for jumping on the show. I consider you a friend.
Likewise.
A much younger friend. I'm sorry. I have to poke at that a little bit, but I really appreciate you. Everything that you shared with us, teaching us about the gig bag and being ourselves and being okay with ourselves and identifying our avatar. And it's inspiring to know somebody with three jobs and a podcast, going to grad school, waking up at 4 a.m., 5 days a week. It makes the rest of us feel like we could probably do one more thing. We should be able to just add one more thing. And if that's all the listener got out of today's episode, I think that's enough. So thank you, Helen.
I'm grateful.
Bye for now.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.